Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Wednesday. It's a Red Bull, a Diet Red Bull Wednesday. I'm all ready to go live in Los Angeles. This is the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We're on Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. You know, Joy, I often think of us as a smaller version of the New York Times and Washington Post. We are a hub of journalism.
Course.
Yes. We've got some things today I need to...
If you want complete unbiased...
Opinions.
Opinion.
Honesty brokers.
Well, unbiased opinion. Yeah. Unbiased information and facts.
Yeah. We do. Laced with occasional opinions.
Big J journalism.
I don't know why I'm in a good mood this morning.
Red Bull will do that.
Yeah, it does. Kind of changes everything. Yeah. When we talked about, you know, what was the story yesterday? We talked about good medication solves everything. Just like
the injuries. Yeah, meds.
Meds solve everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jersey Mike subs solve everything.
Yes.
A sub above. It's Jersey Mike's Wednesday.
It's Jersey Mike's.
It's Jersey Mike's
day.
Let's start with this. No NFL team, none, has been more pro player than the LA Rams. I mean, they don't use pads during the season. They barely practice. That's why guys like Andrew Whitworth, who have money, he'll be a Hall of Famer, he keeps coming back. Not that it's a country club, but it's very pro player. Even when the player is a little difficult, like Todd Gurley, Joy and I watched for a year. Oh, everything's great. It's our problem. Suddenly, they are ripping quiet, introverted Jared Goff publicly. Sean McVay, the head coach, Mr. Pro Player, after the Packer loss, in which Goff was not terrible, 21-27, passer rating in the hundreds. He said, yeah, he's our quarterback right now. Les Snead asked yesterday, the GM, about quiet, non-controversial Jared Goff, said this.
What I can say is Jared Goff's a Ram in this moment. And I said, it's way too early to speculate. The future, that's a beautiful mystery. Moving on from Jared Goff, that's the money we've invested in him. That's not easy to overcome. Anything can be done in a cap-based system.
What? Anything can be overdone. He's our quarterback. At this moment, then they drop the Aaron Rodgers subtle hint, we like Aaron. It's a beautiful mystery. What are they doing? Well, clearly Snead and Sean McVay made a decision several weeks ago privately, this is called Big J journalism, to have a plan of attack, obviously. Now, why would they do this? Now, Washington did the same to Dwayne Haskins, but we later found out he wasn't putting in the work. It was justified. Philadelphia has done this to Carson Wentz, bashed him publicly. We later find out he's not terribly coachable. Green Bay's leaked some stuff through the years to take shots at Aaron. He's a little bit of a blamer. He can be arrogant and condescending. But Goff is quiet, meek, non-controversial. Teammates like him. Why would they do this? Here's my guess. The contract's really hurting the Rams. It's not killing them, but it's hurting them. And they called Goff's agent, and they said, we did you a solid. We paid you early. Let's redo the contract. And the agent said, two words, pound sand. And now they're trapped. They can't cut him. It would cost them $65 million. Goff has a market. If they don't cut him. In fact, if they cut him after July, the cap hit's really not that big of an issue. And he's not a terrible quarterback. He just beat Seattle with a broken thumb in the playoffs. He wasn't terrible against the Rams. So why would they publicly rip Jared Goff. Two pro player guys. This is what happens when your career is tied to a quarterback. Les Snead's career is tied to a quarterback. There are no better jobs than GM of the Rams. Stan Kroenke's the current richest NFL owner. You get a living L.A. on the beach. There's no better job, frankly, than the L.A. Rams. Stan Kroenke's the richest owner. Sean McVay can live on the beach. It's a great, great job. New stadium, richest owner, takes care of everybody. Great organization. But their careers are tied to that contract. And Les Snead made a call, I'm guessing, on that contract, and the agent won't budge. And this is what you do. You go out, Jared Goff caught in the middle. Goff's not going to just hand back $25 million bucks. His contract's not as bad as people think. But this is why you're seeing here what you're seeing. It makes no sense otherwise. Goff's not uncoachable. Goff's not condescending. Goff's putting in the work. Yet he's being attacked by the GM and the coach. He's our quarterback now. These things, you can get out of them. Uncle Colin just explaining the world of football to all of you. Let me shift gears to this. This made me laugh this morning. You know, Tom Brady once joked about his dad, sometimes I have to call dad and say, Dad, don't talk to radio stations. So Tom Brady Sr. was talking about the New England Patriots. And he went out and he talked about how close Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, is to his son Tom, called him this past weekend to congratulate him. Belichick still hasn't. But when he talked about Belichick, Tom Brady Sr., and you just know Tom Brady's wincing about this, he said, well, I'm guessing Bill's on a little bit of a hot seat right now. Oh, excuse me, Dad, stop talking. So first of all, Robert Kraft called Brady to congratulate him. Belichick didn't. Robert Kraft's a billionaire. He's 80. He's not a patient man, and he's not going to rebuild. I want you to hear me out on something. Joy will be impressed with this. When Justin Timberlake left NSYNC, Justin Timberlake flourished. NSYNC became irrelevant. When Beyoncé left Destiny's Child, Beyoncé became a bigger star. Destiny's Child, not as newsworthy. Is that what we're looking at here? That Bill Belichick is Joey Fatone or Lance Bass with a hoodie? Is that what we're looking at here? Now, maybe it's the Beatles, where John Lennon and Paul McCartney both left, and they both had success, but it did take McCartney, Belichick, longer. But right now, in the 8 years without Tom Brady, Belichick has had six losing seasons. And in the seventh, he didn't make the playoffs. That's Lance Bass with a whistle. That's Joey Fatone with a hoodie. Tom Brady's one season without Belichick is very Timberlake, is very Beyonce. He's in the Super Bowl. At this point, you can't deny it. It's always felt like in the last, especially last 7 to 8 years, that Bill Belichick's armor is impenetrable. He is the best coach there is. You can't argue this. But I'm going to throw a hypothetical at you. Belichick, 8 years without Brady, six losing years, one couldn't make the playoffs. If Andy Reid wins Sunday, and after that wins, I don't know, in 10 years with Mahomes, two, three more Super Bowls, do we view Belichick as the best coach ever? Hear me out. Andy Reid will have won five NFC championships without Mahomes. Andy Reid will have gotten to a Super Bowl without Mahomes. Andy Reid will have won with five, six different quarterbacks. Belichick's won with one. Andy Reid has given more than any coach Belichick trouble. Andy Reid, not Belichick, is the best off a bye. Andy Reid, once he got his great quarterback, Belichick couldn't compete in his final years. Andy Reid is the one guy left in this sport that can penetrate the impenetrable Belichick shield as the best coach ever. Ask yourself. Beyonce flourished. Timberlake flourished. We don't talk Destiny's Child. We don't talk NSYNC. We're going to be talking Belichick in 10 years if he coaches four more years and this is what it is. Mac Jones leading the attack. And Andy Reid winning Super Bowl after Super Bowl after Super Bowl. Just something to think about. That story may not be written. Best coach in football. We thought it was over with Lombardi. Oh wait, it's Knowles the best coach. Oh, wait, it's Bill Walsh is the best coach. No, it's Belichick is the best coach ever. Andy Reid is 62, is still the most clever coach in the league, and he ain't leaving. You're going to have to pull him out of that city with Mahomes. 8-10 years left. He knocks 4 or 5 Super Bowls down, 1 in 2 Sundays. Is he the greatest ever? Just a thought. Lance Bass with a hoodie. I always love our graphics department. Joey Fatone with a whistle.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Psychologists and therapists agree that sometimes you shouldn't bottle stuff up. Got to have people you can talk to and express your frustration. It's a real thing. My wife is my sounding board. The dogs don't talk. My son doesn't want to hear it. My daughter's pretty good. Sometimes I complain to Joy. But you got to have a sounding board. Everybody needs a sounding board. In fact, I have joked for years with my agent. I have one of those. So does Joy. We sort of have to. If you watch people that are very dramatic in our business, they're often single and no kids, and they go home and they're the sun in their orbit. Very interesting situation in Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers is now backtracking a little. I don't know if I'd call it that specifically, but it reminds me of kind of a cartoon. You know, the cartoon where somebody lights a fuse and it slowly gets close to the dynamite and everybody tries to put it out before it gets to the dynamite. Boom, boom, kaboom. And Aaron Rodgers after the game lights a fuse with some comments and it's getting close to the dynamite. Now everybody, the GM and the CEO and Aaron Rodgers are trying to put it out before it explodes into something. Here was Aaron Rodgers on Pat McAfee's show yesterday.
Now, obviously after the season that I had and, potentially win an MVP, and, we obviously made it another good run. I don't think that there's any reason why I wouldn't be back. But, look, I think there's not many absolutes, as you guys know, in this business. So to make an absolute statement about something that is not an absolute, it's just I didn't do it, and I guess that's why I went kind of nuts.
I don't think he was nuts. I think he needs a sounding board. Listen, star quarterbacks' words have power. This is why Russell Wilson, despite the fact, and I can tell you this from knowledge, he's very frustrated. But when you ask him about it, he says nice things about Pete Carroll, followed by, go Hawks. It's why Tom Brady has spent 20 years boring us, and before that, Eli Manning spent 15 years doing the same. Star quarterbacks' words have power. But Russell Wilson and Eli Manning and Tom Brady can lean on people at home as sounding boards. They have tight-knit families, maybe adult children. Aaron's single in the smallest town in American sports. He's got no kids. From what I read, not particularly close with his family. Is it possible we are Aaron's sounding board? The media. It's not healthy to bottle this stuff up. Where's Aaron supposed to go? Yes, I'm defending Aaron Rodgers today. Where do you go? I go to my wife. My daughter's in her 20s. You got to go somewhere if you're frustrated. Where do you go? Aaron's a smart guy. He's the sun in his orbit, as all of us are when we're not married, single, not sure if he has pets, not particularly from what I read tight with his family. Got to go somewhere. Got to express frustration somewhere. I don't think Aaron was nuts. Maybe he was just, as he always says he is, human.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
You know, I don't want to get into too much Super Bowl stuff. That's what next week is for. I got Friday off. I'll talk a couple days about the games. But the Brady Mahomes thing is interesting. They've played four times, three in the regular season, one in the playoffs. They're 2-2. If you put the numbers up, this is an old Brady, by the way. This isn't Brady in his prime. This is an older Brady. This is Mahomes, I think, just getting into his prime for the next 10 years. Obviously, Mahomes has been a much more dynamic player. They're pretty close on completion percentage, but, you know, Mahomes, 11 touchdowns, 3 picks. Tom, 6 touchdowns, 5 picks. Yards per game, Brady's actually fairly close considering the weapons Mahomes has. Passer rating, though, not close. Mahomes 109, Brady 86. And again, this is the older Tom and the, you know, heading into his prime. Also, I mean, let's be honest, Mahomes has better weapons and a more clever head coach. Mahomes is clearly the more dynamic quarterback at this point. But my guarantee for the Super Bowl, if I could have one, is Mahomes will be much more dynamic when you watch the game. He'll make more spectacular plays. And B, Tom Brady will only win if certain things happen. Mahomes only needs to be healthy. If you say he plays four quarters, he's never hurt, that just could be enough. His defense could be bad. He could have two fumbles. Things could go wildly wrong, and Mahomes could win. Brady's going to need some things to win. He's probably going to need a special teams break. He's probably going to need a turnover break. He's going to need his defense to really rattle Mahomes, and it's possible because Patrick is missing Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz. But my feeling is Tom can win, and I think being at home helps. Having a great defensive front helps. The Chiefs having two key injuries up front hurts, helps. But I don't think Mahomes needs anything to beat Tom. If he's healthy, things could go sideways. He could have a pick six in the first quarter and a bad pick in the third, and he could still win. I don't think Tom could do that. Tom's going to need things, and he may be able to generate many of those things, but he'll probably need a blocked punt. The Chiefs fumble it at the 8-yard line. He's going to need a break, and that's okay because we know Mahomes is the more dynamic player. My buddy, Fox Sports NFL analyst, totally connected, Dave Wonstadt, now joining us live from Naples, Florida. Yes, I'm jealous. So I said this earlier today, Dave, that Les Snead, the general manager, and Sean McVay, the coach of the Rams, have been very pro-player. But in the last month, they've gone after Goff publicly. And my guess is they did him a solid by signing him early. They've called his agent to redo the contract, and the agent said, we're not giving any money back. And so they're kind of trapped. Their futures are tied to Goff. I would argue this, Coach, that Goff is not. He's only $22 million a year. He's won 9 games with McVay. He's had signature wins. He out-dueled Mahomes. I think Goff, there's 10 teams that may need a quarterback. I think he's got a market somewhere. Do you?
Yes, I do. I think now personally, I think Jared Goff is one of these quarterbacks that can get you to the playoffs every year. But I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen it yet on a consistent basis that he can win a Super Bowl for you. And I'm going back to his college days, you know, when he was at Cal and they played Utah, the best defense in the Pac-12 and the USC's, you know, there was always problems. He had a tough time getting over the hump. And that's where I see him. I mean, I see him make some great throws, but I'll tell you what, with McVay, you could not have a more quarterback-friendly offense. I mean, truly, the way he, you know, draws it up and calls plays with the run and play-action passes, it's designed to give a quarterback that has some ability, which he has, success. So I think they stay with him another year and see if he can turn it around, but that's how I see it. Can he get you to the playoffs? Yes. Is he going to win a Super Bowl for you? I haven't seen that yet. I don't see it.
Listen, in the 8 years, Belichick hasn't had Brady. 6 of them are losing seasons, and the other, he didn't go to the playoffs. Are you at least surprised at the gap in Belichick without Brady and how much he struggled?
No, I'll tell you what. A lot of the things that Tom Brady, and this is – from a coaching perspective that people don't want to give Bill Belichick credit for. Tom Brady, when you look at the influence that he's had on the whole Tampa franchise, and Bruce Arians has said that, this guy has influenced and taken our whole franchise to another level. Their turnovers are done. Their penalties are done. Doing the little things right. I have a nephew who's a trainer at the Bucs. I mean, just on a day-to-day basis, this is all Bill Belichick. Tom Brady didn't show up at New England and get this whole big picture from Michigan. So you got to give Bill Belichick maybe not credit for Tom's ability to throw touchdowns, but to be in position and put the team in position to win, that's all Bill Belichick.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. There's been a lot of coaching hires. A lot of them I don't get. Some I kind of like. Houston still doesn't have one. Is there one coaching hire so far that, you know, Brandon Staley, young guy, Rams to the Chargers, Arthur Smith, Atlanta, Robert Sala, Jets, Dan Campbell, Detroit. Which one am I missing here, Joy? I'm probably missing a couple. Is there one that you look at and you think to yourself, okay, that's going to work? Is there one that jumps out to you as, oh, Urban Meyer to the Jags? Is there one you right. like?
Yeah, you just said it. I would say Urban Meyer. I mean, because the rest of these guys, I mean, some of these guys haven't even been in a playoff game or won a playoff game or, more importantly, made a decision in a playoff game as a coordinator. It's fourth and one. What are you going to call? You know, I mean, so I would say Urban Meyer. And we know all the reasons that they got draft picks and that they got extra cap money. But I think Urban Meyer is going to be able to lay out a blueprint that's a successful blueprint. And he's going to have success there. I talked to him last week about an assistant coach that he called me about possibly hiring. And he's got the blueprint. And he's not a micromanager. You know, he's gonna set the foundation for the big picture, offense, defense, special teams. And his coaches are going to do the coaching. So I think that's the right approach. He's not going to be on the field trying to teach a 5-year all pro how to, how to get off a block and make a tackle. He's not going to do that.
You know, Dave, your record is shockingly good as a head coach in the NFL, despite the fact you never had Pro Bowl quarterbacks and often in your division faced Pro Bowl quarterbacks. So if you have a star quarterback, sometimes you have to deal with some ego and stuff. Would you have been bothered by what Aaron Rodgers said after he lost? Almost kind of a little blame game. What do you make of what he said?
Well, I think the whole Green Bay Packer organization right now, there is what I would call friendly fire. And friendly fire within a football team I'm talking about is, you know, the defense is doing not enough. The offense is turning the ball over. The coaching. And there's some of that going on. You know, I saw Matt LaFleur said he don't know why we were in that call on defense. It was a terrible call when Brady threw the touchdown pass before the half. Well, you're the head coach. Change the call. That's how I see it. But I was not bothered by what Aaron Rodgers said because the emotions right now, I kind of felt the same way. I mean, I was all on Green Bay for that game, and it was a darn shame that they don't win that football game. And we all know the reasons why. So I think there was some real frustration there. I think what's going to happen, and it what should happen, if I'm the head coach, I'm calling Aaron Rodgers in and saying, we're going to sign you. We're going to draft you a top free agent receiver. We're going to get you. You got to add some pieces to the pile to help him right now. I mean, you know, he got sacked by a 4-man rush. And to me, that's coaching. That's kind of what the Bears have gone through. Release everybody out for a pass, and you got a left tackle that's getting beat, and you give him no help. He's a backup player. It wasn't his fault. You know, and they didn't. So, I mean, I would be frustrated, too, if I was Aaron Rodgers. Absolutely.
How about that? The coach sticking up for the – I like that. That's the new Dave wants that. I like that.
I watched the game, Colin. I sat there and watched the game.
No.
What do you want me to say?
No,
I just not listen. If I only listen to your show and never watch the game, I might have a different opinion. Jeez.
Okay.
No. Yeah.
Well, let me throw this one out to you. So you're very popular in Chicago. Do you do radio hits? You're beloved. And anytime you're on, the ratings spike and they're going crazy. They want a new quarterback. And you've told me before that, and I believe you, you told me a lot of things privately about Mitch Trubisky. You're like, I can win games with Mitch Trubisky. I don't know if I can win a bunch of playoff games, but I can win games. And they actually, whether it was public or private or something, osmosis, they took your advice because the way they played with Trubisky at the end of the year was exactly what you told me in my ear for 8 weeks off the air, which is you can win games with Trubisky, just not a Super Bowl. So let me just throw this out. Deshaun Watson demanding to be traded. If you were Deshaun Watson and I could go to Miami and get a great coach, I could go to Chicago and get a great defense. I could go to New York and be a star. What would you choose? You're his agent. Where would you tell him to go?
I would go someplace with a new head coach that was going to run an offensive philosophy that I believed in. The only problem with Chicago, and I hope Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, the general manager, they're 10 years. But, I mean, they are on the clock to win next year. And boy, I tell you what, these quarterbacks – you can jump teams as a defensive lineman, and it works out quick. But as a quarterback with all the adjustments, you know, run game, pass-wise, checks, audibles, signals, I mean, there's so much at the quarterback position. It is not easy for these guys to jump teams. And to go someplace where you're not, where you don't believe you're going to be there 2, 3, 4 years, I think would be a mistake for them. So I would look at – if I was going to leave and I was going to advise Deshaun Watson, I would say – we got to look at stability first. Somebody that believes in your offense. You were talking about Mitch Trubisky. They did with Mitch that gives him the best chance to be successful, but I don't think Matt Nagy really believes that. That's not his offensive philosophy. They did it to try to survive, and which they did, and they got into the playoffs, but I don't think in his heart that he believes in that system. Get into a system.
That's good stuff. I always love having the coach on, honestly. Dave Wannstedt, Fox Sports NFL analyst. I'm not going to tell you where he is. It's a secret, but it's a very nice place. I'll just say that. Coach, good talking to you.
Okay, always.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Tyler Dunn's a founder and writer at GoLongTD.com. Enterprising football journalism. Go to GoLongTD.com. He is our first recipient of the Herd Big J journalism, came out as somebody covering the Packers and was critical of the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, and it got headlines. And I said, sometimes in smaller markets, it is hard if you're in Lexington to go after John Calipari. It's hard. I've been in those smaller markets. Tyler Dunn is now joining us live. GoLongTD.com. All right, let's start this. You covered Aaron for a long time. Passive aggressive is sort of his MO. I imagine you weren't shocked by his post-game comments, which was a little blame gamey. I thought a little blame gamey. Were you shocked by it?
Not shocked at all. This is classic, right? I mean, this is somebody who cherishes the narrative, the headline. He knows the gravity of every word he says in that setting, right out of another NFC Championship loss. And he knows what's going to happen locally, nationally, when he questions his own future. Oh my God, how could you do this to Aaron Rodgers? How could you not surround him with weapons? What is Brian Gutekunst doing? You have to make him happy, et cetera, et cetera. And we're not talking about the fact that he's now, 1-4 in that game. We're not talking about missing Alan Lazard at the end of the first half. Look, he played a great game, but he also missed that touchdown. Maybe he runs in for a touchdown there before Matt LaFleur's decision to kick. So, we're talking about his future instead of what actually happened. Very calculated.
Wow, that's interesting. I never even thought about it like that. So let me ask you this. Listen, everybody this morning is going to blame Matt LaFleur. And let's be honest, that may be calculating. How do you think LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers get along? The media now says it's great, 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 but it did feel a little stressful after that game. Do you think they get along great?
I think they get along fine. You know, I'm not so sure day-to-day what that relationship is really like. Look, winning cures everything. I mean, they've won a lot of games, and publicly everything does seem just fine. You know, I think that Aaron Rodgers is definitely projecting some unhappiness here, right? But by saying that with that slight chuckle, is that unhappiness because of Matt LaFleur? I'm not so sure. Is it because of Brian Gutekunst and the way they built this team? Not so sure. Does he want a new contract? I mean, that's something to consider here, too. He sees what Patrick Mahomes just got from Kansas City. He believes he's at the absolute top of his game. He's going to win MVP. Maybe he wants more money. I don't know if he necessarily wants to get the heck out of Dodge and be traded out of Green Bay. I don't think he's that dumb. I don't think he's dumb enough to demand a trade in Green Bay because, you know, that for somebody that cares about that headline and that narrative that's very central to what he cares about, obviously, or I don't think he wants to deal with that. But clearly there's some unhappiness here. And if we're going to take it a step further and ask why would he be unhappy, I don't know. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that he was really happy with the additions to the defense.
That's right.
Remember, we got a defense after that win against Chicago in the opener 2 years ago. They did that. They've developed young talent. They have a lot of young talent on Lazard, MVS. And let's face it. Look, he wasn't – there were some signs at the end of last season that maybe he is getting up there. Week 17 against Detroit, not necessarily pretty. The NFC Championship game, I know the defense got bowled over by Raheem Mostert. Rodgers wasn't that great in that game himself. You can justify this if you're Brian Gutekunst and somebody who worked under Ted Thompson. Ted Thompson worked under Ron Wolf. This is just how they do it in Green Bay, Colin. I mean, you know it. You find your quarterback before you need one.
Yeah.
And that's what they wanted to do here. They believe in Jordan Love. They don't want to play him right now. And to cut to the chase, I think that Green Bay, I think Brian Gutekunst just look at this and they don't even flinch. They don't even blink. They let Aaron Rodgers play under his contract. They try to develop Jordan Love. If those lines cross, they cross. If Aaron Rodgers plays like an MVP, that's the worst case scenario. Everybody wins, right?
Tyler Dunn, by the way, golongtd.com for more information. In Green Bay for years and years, you know, they love their quarterbacks. Bart Starr before social media, Favre and Rodgers. But, you know, I always get hate mail from Green Bay. It's a smaller, almost collegiate-sized town. Bigger cities are more prone to accept like criticism of their stars because the local media is a little harder. Do you think that Aaron does have an occasional critic? I've said this before. Mahomes plays with joy trailing in games. I thought Aaron sometimes plays tight trailing in games. He doesn't play quite the same. Does he get any criticism in Green Bay? Are there Packer fans that go, sometimes it's Aaron?
I think so. I think there are some realists out there, no doubt. I mean, I live there for a number of years, and they want a winner. I mean, the expectation is the Super Bowl year in and year out. It's not just to get in. It's to win championships. So I think he does have critics out there. And, you know, I think the Packers do know that their actions in drafting a Jordan Love and anything they do, if something ticks off Aaron Rodgers, anything at all, they're okay with that. He plays his best when he's ticked off, when he's mad. And what's going to get you more mad than finding his replacement, drafting his heir apparent in Jordan Love? We saw it this year. I mean, he took his game to a whole nother level. I don't care what he says. I mean, that's going to be in the back of your head if your boss just drafted your replacement. I mean, we saw Aaron Rodgers play unbelievably well. So I think that Brian Gutekunst, Matt LaFleur too. Matt LaFleur did his homework on Jordan Love. I mean, he's calling up David Yost, Love's offensive coordinator, and they're talking forever, getting the ins and outs of what makes Jordan Love tick. So this was an organizational decision, and they know the ramifications of this. They love the unintended consequences of this. Hey, maybe it is intended. And look, if the Packers were so bad, they wouldn't have been that close to making the Super Bowl. This was their year to have it. That was their game to win. Tom Brady throws three interceptions. You get 6 points off of that. They've got the weapons. MVS led the NFL in yards per reception. Alan Lazard had the game-sealing touchdown the week before, so don't give me that crap about no weapons around him. Give me those guys over Rob Gronkowski at this stage and Antonio Brown at this stage. There's enough there in Green Bay to win. And Aaron Rodgers played a great game, with the exception of a few plays, and now they're sitting at home.
Tyler Dunn is joining us, founder and writer at GoLongTD.com. Whole thing is fascinating to me. It is. Yesterday, Aaron was calling media people names, and he was just, you know, I got to have a, you know, I said I only got a minute left, but I did say, who is his sounding board? He's not married, apparently not tied to his family. Does he have, I mean, who is his sounding board? Are we, I mean, you tell me, when he was in Green Bay, did he have a tight social circle of guys, people?
You know, I'm sure there's some media members, no doubt. And I don't know, I would just be guessing on that.
Yeah.
You're right. I'm not sure there is that, you know, direct person like we might have in our lives day in and day out to be that sounding board. It's look and look, him being mad about some of this stuff is part of what makes him great, too. You know, he is motivated by a conversation like this, by a conversation anybody would have about him being unhappy, not playing well, what have you. So, you know, it's funny. This is the number one story in sports right now, right, Colin? But I think at the end of the day, 2021 week one, he's going to be the starting quarterback. They're going to be a Super Bowl contender. Jordan Love will keep developing and we'll be exactly where we were.
Yeah. Tyler Dunn, the 2019 recipient of the Herd Big J Journalism Award. We retired it. He was like Cronkite. There's nobody else in the class. Tyler, appreciate you coming on again.